Last week I spoke about being filled with the Spirit. I gave you a word, voice. Listen to the voice of the Spirit, and being rather courageous, I wonder if anybody can remember what it stood for. V-O-I-C-E. V for voice. Janet's got it down there, so she's right. So she can help us out if we get stuck. Inspiration was I. V-O-I. Ownership. I heard that coming through from some there. Ownership of problems, difficulties. It was O. V-O. Voice. Ownership. Inspiration. C. No, you guessed that. Control. Thank you. And the last one was E. Enabling. Well, you didn't do too bad. That was very good. Today we look at the fruit of the Spirit. He was sitting on the edge of the main road leading out of Jericho. He was blind. He was destitute. He was alone. He heard a crowd coming, a noise. He heard that it was Jesus, the miracle worker. And he began to cry at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of man, have mercy on me." The others who came told him to shut up, but he kept crying, and Jesus heard him. And Jesus had that man, Bartimaeus, brought to him. And Jesus turned to him and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Blind Bartimaeus had no problem in answering that question. But this morning I want you to think about that question. To think about the question, what do you want Jesus to do for you? What three things? Three, the most important things that you want Jesus to do for you. Just three things. Take a moment. Think about it. Think about it. I'm not going to ask you to repeat them, so don't worry about that. But just think in your mind, three things. Three things of all things. Three things you would want Jesus to do for you. You know, if you think of that, it's quite likely that your three chief desires will fall into one of three groups. It may be into that group of what you want to have. Possessions, but not just possessions. Not just for you either. It might be possessions for someone else. But what you want to have. It might be not possessions, it might be health. It might be an answer to a particular situation or problem that is vexing you and burdening you and wearing you down at the moment. It might be peace in your situation or even wider. Or it might be in that section, what do you want to do? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to overcome? What do you want to reach out for? What do you want to succeed at? Or it may be in the area of what you want to be, in terms of character, the type of person you want to be, the type of qualities and virtues you want to show and you want to display. I think back, and I, as a young man, my emphasis very much in my prayers was what I wanted to have. They were all good things. I remember praying very strongly for a good wife, and the Lord gave me a wonderful one. And children, and the Lord blessed me abundantly. And as I grew older, I began to pray for more of what I wanted to do. I wanted to make an impact with my life. I wanted to be successful in that area or that area. So it was very much then. But I recognise that as I've grown even older, that mainly now, as I pray to the Lord, is what I want to be for him. When I sing that song, More Like You, I find I sing it with more passion and meaning now than what I used to. It's interesting to recall that when King Solomon became king, remember, God came to him with this tremendous open-ended statement. And he said to him, "What would you like me to give you, Solomon?" And the Lord was really pleased. Because you know what Solomon asked for? He asked for a quality of character. He said, "Lord, give me the wisdom that I need. Make me a wise man." God said, "You could have asked riches, I would have given it to you. You could have asked power, prestige, I would have given it to you. But you asked for wisdom, and so I will give you the rest as well." When you think back to the three things that you had in your mind, I think God would want at least one of those three things to do with character, your character. For according to Romans 8:29, God's grand purpose for us is that we should become like his Son, that we should be conformed to the image of Jesus. So think for a moment this morning how glad our Lord would be if we responded to that question put by Jesus with, "Well, what I want you to do for me, Lord, is to make me a loving, joyful, peaceable, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, disciplined Christian." Huge! But did you recognise it? It's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? But you know, I for one look at that statement and I think for myself, and this is just for me, that's a rather forlorn hope. What chance, really? Not all the time, anyhow. Perhaps a little portions, maybe, but all the time? And it's not that I don't want to be like that. I find that very attractive. But I know me. I know the moments I have when everything spills out of control. I know the days I have, sometimes the weeks I have, when it happens like that. And I'm sure most of you feel the same. We look at the list, you know, of the fruit of the Spirit, and too often we see the opposite in our lives. We think of love, joy, peace. Yet how often are we cold and unconcerned, moody and gloomy, worried and quarrelsome? We look at patience, kindness, goodness. But we all can be bad-tempered and irritable, unfriendly, unhelpful, mean and evil. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, wonderful things to aim for. But can't we all be unreliable and disloyal, ill-mannered and harsh? And I thought of this one very strongly for me, slack and undisciplined. You see, there is a stubborn spirit in each one of us, isn't there? And it comes to the fore at the most inconvenient times often. Like driving to church in the car. Or after you've had such a wonderful service. Mark Twain, some very funny things, was talking about honesty in a speech once. He told a story about when he was a young boy. He said, "I was a young boy, I was walking down this road and I saw this car full of watermelons." And he says, "I've got this thing about watermelons. I love them." So he said, "I crept up to the car and I snitched the watermelon. I took it back to the alley." And he said, "I sunk my teeth into this watermelon. And immediately I sunk my teeth into it, this feeling came over me. Without hesitation, I knew what I should do." He said, "I took that watermelon, went back to the car, and I put it back on the car. And then I took a right one." We don't always do the right thing, do we? But the good news in what we have here in this passage of Scripture is that it's about the fruit of the Spirit. Hear that? The fruit of the Spirit. Turn back to Galatians 5. This whole letter, you know, this whole letter to the Galatian church is really about living by God's grace. There were people in that situation who had all these rules, and they said, people have got to live by these rules. This is the only way you can be right before God, by keeping all these rules. And Paul comes to them and says, it's not about us keeping a heap of rules, but us allowing God to live a new life through us. It doesn't mean things doesn't change, but it's God who we allow to bring about the change as we surrender to him. So when in chapter 5, the chapter we're looking at, Paul presents two lists of contrasting behaviours in that chapter. You notice the first list in verses 19 to 21 is what happens in different degrees of intensity when you don't have Christ as the Lord of your life. You look at that list and you know that Paul was thinking of particular situations in his society. We would have a slightly different list today, but they would all be there in some form. The second list he gives, which is in verses 22 to 26, is what happens when you do have Christ as Lord of your life. And that's the list we call the fruit of the Spirit. But what I want you to notice, you look at those lists, in that first list he talks about the acts or the works of the sinful nature. Acts or works. Things you have to work at doing, even though they may come easy to the sinful nature. They are still acts or works of the sinful nature. But when it comes to the second list, it's not acts or works of our sinful nature. It's the fruit of the Spirit at work in us. I talked to someone the other day, and we were talking about patience. And he was saying, I have a real big trouble with patience. I said, no wonder, we all do. But I said, it is the fruit of the Spirit, not of your working. He said, I'm glad you said that. At least there's hope. It's true, there is hope for each one of us. When I was a child, Christmas morning, like Christmas morning is for most children, was a very special time for me. And I always looked forward to waking up, and there on the bottom of the bed was the pillowcase. And this time the pillowcase had gifts in it from my mother and father to me. But I can think back now, and I don't think, sad to say, I could remember or could tell you what any of those gifts were. But I can tell you this, every year within that pillowcase there was an orange. Might sound strange to you, but we lived in England and those oranges came from Spain and they were pretty rare. And to have an orange was very important to us as a very large family, to have the orange. And when that orange was so beautiful and so orange, but I will always remember that fruit. I guess it was given, like all the gifts were, from our parents to us, as the sign that they loved us, that they were to some degree pleased with us, but also to encourage us. And as I look at the fruit that God gives me, the fruit of the Spirit, it is also very, very special. And it's a sign that God loves me, he's helping me, and he's encouraging me. I want you to notice when you read that it's called the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, not the fruits. We say the fruits, but it's not, it's a fruit. I often like to think of it as a bunch of grapes, really, because it's made up of many sections, and different sections we work on at different times in our lives. What part of the fruit of the Spirit do you want most in your life today? For God the Spirit has promised to grow it within you. Isn't that wonderful? He looks at you and says, you want it? I'm going to grow it within you. It won't be instant. Funny thing about fruit, it never is it? takes an awful long time. Fruit does not grow overnight. And it will need your cooperation in truly wanting it in your life. But it's the Spirit in you that will produce it, working within you. I can remember many people coming to me with some surprise on their faces after some years, or not even that long, sometimes even months after they become a Christian. They say, "Keith, you know, it's an amazing thing, but before I was a Christian I was very this or that, but now suddenly it's happening, I'm changing." And it's the Spirit at work in them, the fruit of the Spirit. Imagine someone asks you, good friend of yours, business endeavour together, they want you, Lo, to paint this huge building made up of many rooms. They say, "You know, you paint this huge building and you fit it all out and we're going to run it, and we're going to have a great blessing out of this, both of us." And you look at it and you look inside yourself, because you know yourself and you know it's beyond you. And you turn to them and you sadly shake your head and say, "I can't do this. I don't really know how to do it. And I haven't got any paint, I've got no painting equipment, I've got no ladders, and it's so dirty and it's so huge." But they say to you, "But you can do it, because I will give you instructions for you to follow. And you will not need to provide anything, I will provide everything. And think of the blessing it's going to be to us both as you do it." But surely, you say to them, you will have to wait so long for it to be finally completed. Or some rooms, some parts may be available for you to use fairly soon, but others, they're going to take me a lifetime. And they say to you, "Yes, but you have a lifetime. And I will be alongside you to help you always. What room do you want to start with?" God the Spirit will grow in you the whole fruit of the Spirit. But where do you want to start today? What is it that you need more of? Need more patience? Pray God that He will give you patience, and then practice as the Spirit leads you in being patient, and you'll be amazed when you're relying on God what will happen. Need more joy? Pray for joy and practice thanksgiving. Story of a man who was a young fella when John the Apostle was the kind of pastor in Ephesus. Fancy that, John the Apostle, an old man. This young man, a young Christian from a young age, used to sit and listen to John and sit with him and talk to John, and sometimes John would talk to him. This young man, of course, grew and he lived a long life. In fact, he was very old when it got to the point that the persecution was so strong in the land. And because this man was now a church leader, the authorities wanted to destroy his life. So they came after him. The first time they came, the people, the church, hid him. But the authorities got wind of where he was. They came again to the place. And this time he said, "Don't hide me anymore. I will stand for the Lord." The authorities took him, they took him into the arena. They eventually threw him to the wild beast, but before he did, they asked him to speak, and he said, "86 years I have been a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has done so much for me. I'm not going to disown Him now." His death made an impact upon the church, but also the people in the town, and major impact for good, simply because he was known as a man within whom the fruit of the Spirit lived. And the interesting thing is that his name was Polycarp, and Polycarp means in the Greek many fruits. My name and your name may not mean much fruit, but the promise is there for us too, that if we look to God the Spirit and really want it, come to Him in prayer and desire it, and read His word, He will fill our lives too with his Spirit and with the fruit of the Spirit. Gradually, but truly, it will come, that precious fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Let's pray. Father, I've wanted today to be encouraging, not just for people here, but for myself too. Encouraging to know that you want so much to produce that fruit in me in its fullness. Lord, as we all come before you, we are conscious, as we think of the fruit of the Spirit, some areas we can need more than others. We rejoice where we're growing, and we pray to you for growth in areas where we're not quite as far ahead as we want to be, as you want us to be. But Lord, we are conscious that you are able to do more in us than what we would ask or even think. And for that, we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.